We're gonna wrap this up like a Christmas present.
That's so cheesy, man.
No. You don't have to say anything. You weren't gonna say anything anyway, were you?
No.
Okay. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian, here with my co-host, a man who can say never say never without saying never.
I'm Ramon.
Was that you or me?
I don't know, man. That's what happened, man?
we just became legends. That's all.
All right. Our scripture. No, just kidding. I'll let you hear that.
Today, we're going to wrap up this series called
Legacy.
That's right. Which is about raising the next generation of warriors. Our scripture today comes from
the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light.
Boom. I know I've said this. It's delicious.
Yep.
Another thing that was delicious was the series. But I felt like we needed to wrap this up somehow, some way. And I'm glad you agreed.
Yeah.
So much stuff to go through. You know, our series was revolving around raising the next generation of warriors. And we were talking about our roles as protectors, as guardians, you know? That was the last thing that we were talking about. How do we keep our people safe? Particularly our young men, you know? How do we bring them up so that they may be people of character, moral human beings, people that help other people out, people of value, you know? And so that's only part of our mission as men. We're meant to protect, we're meant to provide, we're meant to lead. And so those were the underlying, I guess, themes of the series. And so just kind of as a recap, you know, our role in this world is not one that we can replace. You know, the world will tell you something and it's always going to be like, oh yeah, you're not needed. You know, you look at TV, what do? They cap on the dad. I mean, I'm just talking about the cartoons that my kids watch, for example, like, my 4-year-old likes Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig, like, punks her dad on the regular. You know, and when you look at TV shows, it's not something that kind of upholds the dignity of fatherhood. You know, father does not know best anymore. Father is just kind of a clown. And granted, you know, we are funny people. There's that thing called the dad joke for a reason. You know, because we've mastered humor without having to curse. And so, and those jokes are hilarious. But when we take it to that extreme, we take away a big part of what it is to be a man and what it is to be a father. You know, we're taking away that respect that we're supposed to have. And a man is supposed to command respect in his own home. That doesn't mean we wail over our kids with, like, overbearing discipline. But it does mean that when we speak, it means something.
Yeah, We brought this up before, and we're going to keep bringing it up again. Do more, say less. And I don't have quite a you know, necessarily a story right now, but it's more of an example, something that happened, that's been happening, actually, for the past 2 weeks, where I went to confession, and I came back to the house, and then the little boy was there, you know, James was there, and I don't know, man, like, I don't want to sound superstitious or anything, but I really think kids can sense a lot of, can sense the purity in a person. And yes, I'm a sinner and I'm a flawed person, but after confession, there's something that my God does to me. And then James just smiled. I don't know, it was this huge smile. And he gave me a hug. And he said, I want to be strong like you. Damn. And, yeah, dude. He said, I want to be strong like you. And, I don't know. Whatever feelings and all that. I didn't cry, because if you cry, you buy. But, but, you know, I... Yeah. And, I don't know, man. Like, he was having kind of a hard time at school. Academically, but he, his behavior. He was, kind of acting out a little bit. And, to make a long story short, what I'm trying to say here is that I know a lot of this stuff, my attitude rubs off on him. And I'm not a grouch. I just, sometimes when I'm very, very quiet around him, he gets uneasy. And he gets uncomfortable, and he gets a little more aggressive. And again, going back to the do more, say less, that can work in a negative way also, because he was feeding off of what I was offering. And no, nothing was going wrong in my life. It was just, I was just tired, man. And when I get tired, I don't necessarily shut down, but
you're on sleep mode.
Yeah. I'm just with a very stoic face, very serious face. And then I do what I got to do, but.
Because it needs to get done.
Yeah. But there's no personality to me. Mm-hmm. And the kid was feeding off of that.
And he's got a lot of personality.
Yeah, he doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So if he's going to feed off of that, he's going to do that with his personality.
Yeah.
You know, and if you know your little ones, like. Yeah, just listen to Ramon. He's speaking on it.
No, and just really think about how that 5-year-old feeds off of my personality, and I can only imagine how other people in at work feed off of me and every interaction that I have, and the same goes to you. You know, what is it that you have inside that's influencing the people around you? And you know, if it's not influencing them, excuse me, in a positive way, in a way where if the people around you don't feel safe around you, if they don't want to be strong like you, then what are you doing? Really self-evaluate. And if you're doing something good, hey, Merry Christmas. That's awesome. And if you're not, go to Papa. Go to God and say, hey, you know, I got this filth. And this is not my mission. I need you.
Yeah, it's so easy to get busy with everything that life is, you know? And, man, I can't tell you how many times I've been in that situation where I'm just the same. You know, I'm exhausted. I've been doing way too much with too little rest and too much caffeine.
Yeah.
And even, you know, when caffeine doesn't do it anymore and you're just exhausted, but you do what you have to do because you have to do it, others suffer, because that leads to you not getting enough rest, and that leads to you giving, like we've said before, you know, giving something other than the best version of yourself. And so it's really important that we take care of ourselves. If we're going to lead, we need to show them how a leader takes care of himself. If we're going to provide, we need to make sure that we work, you know, both smart and hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to guard, we need to make sure that we are the protectors that they need, and that we don't just become bullies, that we don't just start yelling at our kids because we can't keep our stuff together. You know, and it's always a temptation to keep on working because we want to provide, or because we want to do whatever it is that we're called to do, but we want to overdo it. Or we think that the necessary thing is something that's really not. You know, and so we need to be aware of our resources. We need to be aware of our relationship with our wives, because they can make life a whole lot better. You know, you need to know who your support team is when it comes to doing whatever you're doing. Because if they don't see you asking for help, they're not gonna think that it's something that they can do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna try to do something all by themselves, and they're gonna hurt themselves. You know, so you need to be able to let yourself be vulnerable in front of them. You need to say to them whenever you're tired and you notice that they're noticing and then they're acting out, you need to be able to say, hey, yeah, I'm tired. Or one thing that I've been practicing lately, it's just looking at him being like, hey, can I get a hug? Because those do so much, man.
Yeah.
Like, when the little ones go to you and hug you. Though my kids are getting older. They're all, like, my middle child is just turned 9. You know, and 9, 10-year-old, like, they don't hug me when I get home anymore. You know, they used to run to me, and, like, it was the coolest thing. And now they're, like, too cool for it, you know? So, I gotta demand it from them. Because they're still my little ones, you know? And I'm gonna hold on to their innocence for as long as I can. And encourage them to do the same, you know, to hold on to their innocence for as long as they can. And I don't care how old they are, I'm still going to require them to give me hugs, because they're necessary. You know, and if we don't show them that tenderness, we're going to give them a false narrative of what a man is.
I forgot where I heard this expression from, but it was something about masculinity that really resonated with me. And it was something about controlled aggression. I know I'm butchering the idea, but please bear with me because there's so much value in this. You know how aggression gets demonized?
Yeah.
And we spoke about it in I believe mm-hmm. it was a previous episode where it was you know, have harnessing all that aggression.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're not supposed to turn that aggression onto our family, which is, you know, to your point, Adrian, we have to be tender with them. You know, having that controlled aggression and yeah, discipline the children, and also, and I'm not saying discipline the wife, but being in agreement with each other, you know, and I think where we fail as men is we're either too aggressive with them because, you know, we're the man of the house and she's not going to step all over me, or we're too docile. We're
passive, yeah.
Passive, thank you. Docile is actually a good thing. But we're too passive, and then it's just, you know, like a balance. Like, if it's too heavy on one side, it's all lopsided. If it gets too heavy on the other, same result. So there needs to be that balance where we have to respectfully, whether it's the wife or the girlfriend or the children, we have to be there. And we have to course correct all those feelings. And yes, acknowledge the feelings, but don't let that dictate what needs to happen next. What needs to happen next is we need to find a solution. You know, I've only been with my girlfriend for a few months, but I've been in relationships before. And one of my favorite lines to say when we're having a disagreement is like, look, I don't care about being right. You know, and this is especially when I'm not wrong, and then I guess proving a point. And then I get, more often than not, I get to hear, oh yeah, you're right. It was like, well, thank you, but it's not about me being right. I don't care about being right. I care about doing what's right. And that's why I, boom. And then there's a solution. I don't let the emotions take over. That's one way that we protect our own. That's one way we make ourselves indispensable. Because when the stuff hits the fan, are they going to look to you if you're panicking or being angry, or if you remain stoic and strong, dependable? They're going to look at dad. They're going to look at the man of the house and be like, yeah, this guy has the answers. And if he doesn't, he prays about it and God will guide him.
Yeah, something that happened not too long ago. Very simple example of that. And it could have gone either way, you know, like depending on the personality. But car shut down one time. I think I had just too much oil in the car, and it was just recently. I put too much oil in an additive that was like really thick, and so it was too full, and I knew it. So I brought this on to myself, and we were exiting a driveway out of the bank, and the car just shut down. Like it gave up. It turned itself off. And there's a couple of possible responses. You know, you can freak out and just flip out and lose control of the car, or like Ramon says, you know, you can remain stoic, put the car in neutral, and just coast to where it's safe, put your hazard lights on, and try to restart the car. You know, that's actually what happened. And whenever something happens like that, whether it's war or in any other situation, the people that fail or the people who die in war or whatever are the people who panic. And sure enough, you know, we're going to re-quote Archaeologus. know, that you don't rise to the level of your expectations, but you fall back to the level of your training. And if you're training to be calm, collected, and act like you know what you're doing, you're gonna do that. You know, and I'm not just saying act like you know, like you should know what to do. Like, you know that when your car shuts down, put it on neutral, coast, go to where it's safe, and try to move again. And if you can't move, you got to fix it somehow, some way. And whining about it, crying about it, cussing about it, that's only going to set a bad example. Because what's going to happen when they grow up and they encounter those situations, all they're going to do is they're going to curse, and they're going to cry, and they're going to panic, and they're going to throw their hands up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, but it's true though. Like, if you act collected, if you prepare for those situations, you're gonna be all right.
Yeah, prepare and behave yourself, man. Act like an adult.
Yeah.
Because throwing a tantrum or letting your anger take over, it you're doing the opposite of protecting. You're doing the opposite of what a warrior does, which is the ultimate goal of this, really.
Yeah.
That's it.
Of everything we do. I do remember saying this is like one of the most important series, if not the most important series we're going to do. Because it's never about you. It's never about me. It's always about who's going to lead next.
Yeah.
Any great manager is going to make themselves obsolete. They're going to train their team so good that when the like district manager shows up, they can't tell who's the leader.
You know, I forgot where I heard this from, but it's, you know, to your point, let's say that, you know, in retail, the manager, right? Yeah. The manager wants to get a promotion, and if he's been leading accordingly, one of the questions that they may ask you is, oh, okay, that's awesome. You've been doing this and that. That's wonderful. Who's ready to take your place? And if you don't have an answer, you have not been doing your job. Because 99% is not the same as 100%. It's close, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let me explain that just a little bit. I know you guys are super intelligent, but if you've done everything perfect, but if nobody can take your place, you have not done your job 100%. And if it's not 100%, it's not complete. Period. There's... You know, like Leif Babin said, and if you don't know who Leif Babin is, Google him. You know, there's only two things that matter. You're either effective or ineffective.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So no perfection. Obviously, we're going to stumble, but we're going to learn. We have to learn. Like, there's no other option. You have to get better from it so that you can lead better and raise the next generation of warriors and...
Get after it.
Absolutely. So, pray for us.
We'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferrum.
Aquitur. Man, looks pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah. Just got a fresh cut.
Yeah, if it were up to me, I would have went a little higher. But dude, like, I know you like it a little longer. But yeah, it looks nice, dude. I noticed it on Saturday, but I was like, eh.
Oh yeah, the party.
Yeah,
but you didn't say anything. But it's cool though.
Cause we're men.
That's right.
I got nervous, fool. I didn't think you were going to say it.
So I was like... No, I was totally going to say it. I was just building suspense. Hopefully, you know, building suspense will lead to a 5-star review.
Oh, no.